My name is Mike Lee. Our business is called Green Square Agro Consulting, and I'm a director of the company. And we specialize in providing forecasts for Black Sea crops.
Do you consider yourself an agronomist, essentially, Mike?
We basically go to, or we did go to Russia and Ukraine and look at crops and forecast the yield potential, and then provide the information to clients, mainly grain traders.
Okay, and all of those clients, are they based in Ukraine, Russia, other countries as well?
No, other countries, USA, Canada, Europe, Australia is our main base of
So, Mike, how are you staying in touch with the farmers in Russia and Ukraine, those that are in the war zone right now?
WhatsApp, basically WhatsApp and emails. We talk to people frequently. We have a network of farmers and people that provide us with information on crops. There's people that work for us in both in Ukraine and Russia that do crop scouting for us. So we're talking to them as we would do normally.
How is the planting season coming along in Ukraine? We understand it just got started.
Well, the spring wheat and spring barley is going in now as we speak, and some of the sunflower has just started to go in. But so the planting window is April and May, and into June, and we're sort of anticipating a drop in the hectares that are being planted. A proportion of them are in locations where there's active military service taking place. The problem we've got is trying to be able to quantify that and extrapolate that into a yield forecast, but we think somewhere in the order of 40% of the planting area this spring will be at risk, and possibly won't be planted. The problem you've got is not just the issues with regarding location, but access to fuel, tractor drivers, spare parts, seeds, fertilizer, and all those sorts of things. So there's a whole sort of issue that we're trying to unwrap and trying to make some sort of sense of.
It sounds more logistical, really, at this point, being able to transport and to get some of those necessities necessarily than it does at times to have the manpower. But at the same time, we understand that people from across Ukraine are going to fight, maybe some who are farmers. So maybe some of that manpower is, being compromised that would normally be there to produce a crop.
No, definitely. I know of farms that are, tractor drivers have gone off to fight, and the Ukrainian government did say that they would be granted leave to return for planting, but I'm not quite sure how wars, work as such. But there's definitely a labor issue across parts of Ukraine.
So I took a quick glance at your Black Sea crop update that you tweeted out yesterday. You said that Ukraine wheat was in good condition. How do you define good condition and where is it at in the growing stage right now?
Basically, it's come out of the winter in good condition. So there's one of the key state, well, planting obviously in October. Does it germinate? Is there sufficient moisture for it to germinate and become established? And that's one of the phases that we look at. And then we look at it as it goes into the winter, disappears under the snow for the winter, and then it pops out again in the spring, in sort of March time. And we look to assess the condition post-winter. The winter has been fairly benign. Temperature's not too cold. Plenty of snow to provide insulation cover. So the foundation of a crop was there, or it is there. As it came out of the winter, and as we move into the end of March and April, fertilizer goes on. You've got the foundation for a good crop. In terms of its growth stage, it's sort of 2 to 4 leaves, and we're just going into the start of early stem extension, and fertilizer is being applied as we speak.
And it sounds like the Ukrainian government is encouraging those farmers, if they can get into plant, to plant more food for domestic consumption instead of for export or, other uses. And it sounds like that could have a big impact. Do you see that request really weighing in with the decisions your growers are making this spring on what they're going to plant, what kind of crops?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, good question. We've given that some thought ourselves. You're absolutely right. The government has said, you know, we need to grow more buckwheat and peas and things like that for domestic consumption. But you know, how realistic that is at this sort of stage, you know, is it possible for growers to switch significantly? You know, there isn't sufficient seed for the commodity crops in the country at the moment. So, you know, will there be sufficient seed in the supply chain in country to provide? To you know, to provide those other crops. I mean, obviously people will be thinking along those lines, and be looking to plant for, you know, for domestic food security issues. But I still think that the, you know, the bulk of the commodity crops, corn, sunflower, and soybeans will be planted, or proportionally the amount that can be planted will be planted.
What would you say the biggest challenge is so far for these Ukrainian farmers? Is it actually getting the crop planted?
There's areas of Ukraine which are obviously under military activity, which are, you know, complete no-go zones, and then there's areas of Ukraine that are relatively safe, if you could say that, as in quite some distance away from activity, although we've seen rockets being launched from distances to hit targets in western Ukraine this last week. So nowhere sort of out of bounds. But you know, I think if I was a tractor driver in Ukraine and, you know, we were trying to put fertilizer on or plant crops at the moment, that would be first and foremost in my mind pretty much at all times. Tractors can't operate at night. There's a blackout, or the lights are switched off in Ukraine. So if you're a tractor in the field, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb and be a potential target. So the amount of time they've got available to go planting and fertilizing is limited to daylight hours. And then trying to access seeds, fertilizers and sprays. I mean, seeds, fertilizers and sprays are less of an issue because, you know, as we know, as farmers, we can adjust rates, we can lower seed rates, we can drop fertilizer rates and so on. But we need diesel, we need tractors, and we need the hours to be able to get the job done. And I would probably think that's likely to be the biggest challenge, and the, you know, the unknown of where this is going to go in the next few days and weeks.
How short supply is diesel?
The honest answer is we don't know. Where most of the diesel was supplied from Russia and Belarus, which obviously those routes have now been closed off. So there's talk of diesel coming in from Romania, Hungary, and through Moldova. But I know there was a shortage of diesel in Moldova last week. I've spoken to people who say that they're in Ukraine who tell me that there's no problem. They can get diesel. They've got sufficient stocks of diesel. And then I've spoken to people also who said they can't get hold of any diesel and they're having to siphon it out of requisitioned or abandoned tanks and military vehicles. So I guess the answer is somewhere in between. You know, diesel is available. But if there's no, you know, if there isn't diesel, you know, my guys in Moldova were saying, you know, we needed another 4 tons of diesel. I said, well, if we don't get it, we don't go planting. It's, you know, if we can source diesel, then that's good. But if we can't, then, you know, there's not a lot we can do about it, really. So there'll be an acceptance of that situation. But the planting window is, you know, we've got through till April and May. So, you know, over the next 8 weeks, we're hoping that we'll see diesel being made available and coming in through to replace those Belarusian and Russian supply chains.
Mike, how are farmers handling mentally that mental strain, the stress of everything that's happening in this situation and trying to do what they do every year, produce a crop and try to manage all of the things that are happening right in their backyard?
I don't think I'm qualified to answer that, really.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
People I've spoken to have been, you know, fairly normal about things. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about farming stuff and, you know, people don't talk about the stress. But as I said before, I think if I was in that situation, you know, when I was in the neighboring country last 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, and, you know, that was, that, you know, I wasn't in any immediate danger, but you could sense, you can feel the tension, and you know, this isn't a game. You know, we were in Ukraine in 2014 when the revolution took place there, and that was fairly, you know, by comparison to this, was, you know, completely different. And was not something that, you know, at the time it felt like a game is the wrong word, but, you know, until they actually shot people on the streets in Kiev in February 2014, up until that point, it just felt like the normal sort of process of Ukraine, which had gone through several revolutions and upheavals as it was trying to resolve its political and situation and resolve its situation in you know, regarding its independence. So it's difficult to say, really, but it must be having some impact.
There have been talks of, you know, farmers not being able, we've heard farmers not even being able to go out and work their land because farmers are being told that, you know, Russians put landmines all over their fields. Is that true?
Is it true? It's been reported. I have heard those reports. Is it true that it's happening extensively? I have no idea. I couldn't quantify that, but it's certainly possible. You know, there's a war taking place, a proper, you know, full-blown war, and fields will be, there will be defensive positions being put down by Russia and Ukraine, and all of this will need to be cleared up at some point. How extensive it is, you know, we'll find out in due course. Who laid these mines? Were they done deliberately to damage fields or to make it impossible to plant crops? It's possible. I find it perhaps unlikely, but I'm not in Ukraine fighting a war, so you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say, we surely nobody would do that. We're hearing the same reports about farm equipment and farms being targeted. I think the simple answer is we don't know. Obviously, there has been some damage. Whether it's collateral or deliberate is impossible for us to say. You know, for me to say at this time. But it's quite possible that's what's happening. There'll be a big issue to reclaim the land and clear the land. I mean, you still in you know, Ukraine and Russia for that matter, and vast parts of Europe, you still find munitions being dug up, being ploughed up from the First World War and the Second World War. This is just sort of adding to that sort of issue with sort of modern day equipment. When we travel around Ukraine, we drive around, we get out of the car, we walk into fields and we have a little look around. And you know, I was only thinking the other day that, well, you know, we're gonna have to think twice about doing that in the future, until we get sort of clearance that or confirmation that areas are safe, or perhaps we'll just target our crop inspections in areas that weren't involved directly in the war. So it's not something we ever considered or thought was ever going to be an issue, but this is what we're facing at the moment.
Can't imagine having to think twice of possibly stepping near a landmine before you go out and you check out the crops that are growing and you take a look, right?
Yeah, one of the things that we use, we take a shashlik skewer, which is a meat skewer for making kebabs on the barbecue. We often carry one of those around with us, just a metal skewer, because we can stick it into the ground and get a feel for compaction. What do they call it? A penetrometer. So rather than buy a penetrometer, we just use a shashlik skewer. Most people have them in the back of the car for random barbecues and stuff. And I often, when I'm walking around, poking that into the ground, wondering, you know, what are the chances of me hitting an unexploded World War II? Or Great Patriotic War ordnance and blowing myself to smithereens. And I sort of laughed it off in the past, but that's certainly something we're going to have to, you know, bear in mind for the future.
Oh my God.
I mean, we're ready to go back as soon as we can, but, I've no idea when that is likely to be, but at the earliest opportunity, we want to be back in country and doing what we do.
That was one of my next questions. When the next time you'd plan to be in the Ukraine, when you could get back over to see some of those farmers? So, yeah,
well,
it sounds like it'll be a while.
In the pre-war situation, we'd be there. We'd have been there now, and then we'd go again at the beginning of May, end of April, beginning of May, when the first spring crops start to come through. And we'd be sort of backwards and forwards on a sort of regular basis. But obviously, we can't go anywhere until there's some indication of the stability of the situation. I mean, I would be tempted to go back in a few weeks' time if the situation remains as it is at the moment, and the areas that are not under attack are, remain not under attack. But whether my family would let me go or not, I don't know.
I can understand that. I very much could understand that. I guess in closing here, as our farmers in the United States watch what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, in terms of crop production, what would you want them to know? What would you say the most important takeaway for our farmers as we watch what's happening should be? What should we be mindful of and be thinking about right now?
Oh, crikey. I think going back to the comment you made earlier, it's opened up the situation with food production globally. You talk about your farmers in America there, but farmers here in the UK and the rest of Europe are all start not so much the farmers, but the population as a whole are starting to recognize that how fragile the food production system is. And how interlinked it is. I mean, I can't get over the amount of people that I've been reading, professionals, commodity traders, and professors from universities that specialize in supply chain and so on. How many of them didn't appreciate the scale of farming and food production that comes out of places like Ukraine, like Russia. The amount of sunflower that comes or sunflower oil that comes out of Ukraine is I can't remember the statistic, but it's one of the biggest producers of sunflower oil in the world. And to realize that it doesn't take that much of a natural disaster or a boat to get jammed in a canal somewhere or a political or war situation for the whole system to break down. And I think, if anything, what we can, as an industry, we can perhaps use that to push through some of the appreciation of food production, what farmers do, and perhaps ask our respective governments to start to look at food production in more of a strategic position rather than just something that needs to be funded and appears to be a bit of a mild inconvenience to most politicians.